This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp Goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
Yes, yes, it is another edition of Inside Boxing Live. It is Dan Cadobio. It is Chris Algieri. We are powered by PPV.com. PPV.com is the leader in pay-per-view events. Stream David Benavidez versus David Morrell Jr. February 1st with us on PPV.com. No subscriptions. Just pop your email in there. Go fight to fight. Stream it on your phone, tablet, any device. And join us in the live chat. Me, Chris, Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire. It is the place to be. We are closing in on less than 3 weeks to that fight. I'm getting very excited. Just booked all my travel. I'll be there all week long doing the old Tuesday to Sunday Vegas trip, which will take years off my... The things I do for you guys at home. The things I do to bring you content, taking years off my life. Chris Algieri, how are you?
Well, Dan, I'm older than you, for the listeners at home who don't know that. Dan's actually going to surpass me after this trip. The Vegas years that are adding time to his chronological age are really adding up. I like that you said the powered by PPV.com. That's good. Little alliteration there.
They power us.
Solid broadcasting there.
In more ways than one. But you're right. Tuesday, getting there on a Tuesday night is wild. There's not a soul there. It's a weird time to be in Las Vegas on a Tuesday.
There's the, what are those dust things? There's dust, what are they called?
I know you're talking about frig. I know, like in Westerns.
Yeah, like the old Western.
It's going to piss me off. Damn it, Chris. Piss me off right out of the gate.
I set you off in a bad way.
Termites? Right away. No. What are those? Dust mites?
No.
They're all over my apartment. I got to vacuum them up.
Our listeners are like, you idiots.
Yes. They usually say it in the chat. But getting there on Tuesday is an experience. By Thursday, I'm shot. And then it's all just adrenaline, coffee, Celsius. For that week, it's going to be great because it's just a
for
awesome
me, there's
fight.
Whiskey involved as well.
Well, Chris, do you like to snipe in and snipe out? You come in Thursday. It's like the star that you are, like the former champion that you are, just snipe in and out.
I'm a marksman. I get in where I'm needed. And I'm expensive, so I'm in and out. You know,
we go to Barry's Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. We go to wherever we want to go. Oh, just Wolfgang Puck's got shut down.
Saw that. Which is that sucks. That's like the lunch spot. That's like the go-to lunch spot. And food's good, but apparently, I didn't read the article. What was the issue?
Pests.
Like, I mean, it's Vegas, so are we talking like meth heads? Or are we talking like actual?
I don't know.
Like,
I got an email from Fred Sternberg.
Yeah.
PPV.com.
I got that email too.
PPV.com PR man.
Like, we won't be eating there anymore.
We'll be eating then. Like, but there's two ways to look at it. It might be the cleanest it's ever been right now.
That's true. And also, it could be like shorter lines because that place is always jammed up.
I'll go. Doesn't bother me.
I don't care.
Doesn't bother me.
Do you remember when Taco Bell had that, diphtheria, like E. coli outbreak.
Yes, lettuce.
And it was like I forgot what year it was, but it was like college. I was like, I don't care. I was in college. I would talk about that night. I was like, cool.
The Chipotle line had that too.
Yeah,
with bad lettuce. So we'll be heading out to Las Vegas at the beginning of February, end of January. I cannot wait. First big fight of the year is Morrell versus Benavidez, but the first big fight of this year. Happened this past weekend, or week, I should say, over in Australia. Our guy Jay Opataya is an absolute monster. Jeez. Fourth round knockout. I thought it would go some rounds. I thought Nikika would offer some resistance, and he did early. And I think a pure Opataya fight where he gets rocked a few times, but shows some devastating power. And man, this guy's for real. And there's a nice little path for him at cruiserweight. Is a heavyweight is opening up. He's entering like a really interesting time in his career where fans are starting to catch on because it's on DAZN and it's part of Riyadh season. And he has some good opponents lined up, whether it's Zurdo or whether it's Usyk, which I think is kind of like a pipe dream at this point, but definitely Zurdo. I like Opataya, and man, that was a scary knockout.
I like Obataya. He's an absolute stud. And, you know, we were talking about this fight prior, obviously. And we were like, yeah, this is not a foregone conclusion. This is a tough guy. And he brought it. He brought it early. He just fought the wrong fight. Just trying to be the tough guy, power guy. But Jai is just, he's got versatility. You know, he's been rounds. He's a ton of experience. Obviously, he's got that game-changing power. Man, just that right hook, dude. That right hook was a thing of beauty. Couldn't miss with it. Going right over the top. He had his man hurt, and when he smells blood in the water, he goes for it. I'm very high on Obataya. I have been for a while. It's funny because these guys, I'm talking about Zerto and Obataya, like every time they fight, I'm like, man, this is the guy. Like, you know, I like Zerto, after Zerto's last fight, I'm like, man, I can see him beating Obataya. Now Obataya fought, I'm like, I don't know if Zerto can deal with this. Like it's that kind of fight. We need
recency
that fight.
Bias.
We need that fight.
A little bit of recency bias. That's
but they're boxing. Both so good. That's also what it is. They're both excellent fighters, and they're very different too, which is another reason I love this fight. The style matchup is interesting to me.
So Obataya's been champ since 2022 July when he beat Burrides in a close fight, 115, 113, 116, 112, twice. Then you know he's gone on to fight. I would say not the best. There's just not a lot of competition. At cruiserweight, it's not the cruiserweight.
Doing
we
what
saw.
You're supposed to do with those guys,
right? Knocked out Thompson,
blast them out.
Knocked out Zorro in the first round. Went 12 again with Burrides, where there were a little more question marks about Obataya because Burrides at that point was towards the end of his career, but still damn tough. And that's what I thought we saw.
That was when he busted
questions.
His nose, right? His nose was leaking a lot. Yeah, because his jaw got broken in the first fight.
That was just this last May. So he is very active, and now. Yeah. He's got this one fight here in January, and he beats Naika devastating fashion. But like I said, tagged a little bit. End of the second round. Gets hit. So that's the one knock on him. And if you were building up this Zerto fight, which I think should be next, you know, I see some people that are like Zerto's levels above him. And then I see a lot of people say, you know, Obataya is just too much to deal with Zerto. Zerto's never been tested at Cruiser. He's only had one fight at Cruiser, right? Or two fights?
No. He had Joe Smith. He had
at Cruiserweight? I thought Joe Smith was light heavy.
No, Cruiserweight was at Joe Smith was at Cruiserweight.
Okay, I gotta pull up his.
I think this is his third. No, maybe that was his first one.
47-1. Good God. Joe Smith was at. Doesn't say the weight. Does it say the weight? Joe Smith. Well, yeah. Cruiser, 191.
Yeah, it's definitely Cruiserweight. Was that his first fight at Cruiser?
Yeah, no. After the Bivol loss.
Oh, wow. He went All right, so Joe Smith and Zerto's first fight at Cruiserweight were was that fight. Interesting.
Yeah, and he fought Golmarian, and he just fought Billiam Smith, which he looked...
All right, so he's had three at Cruiserweight. This would... Okay, so his fourth fight. Yeah, he's a Cruiser. He's definitely a Cruiserweight. And he's taking Cruiserweight punches. He took some big shots from Billiam Smith last fight.
Well, he's a guy that could be at heavyweight, Gilberto. Yes. And Obataya is obviously someone that... You know, cruiserweight is, we know what cruiserweight is. It's a launching pad for heavyweights, usually.
I don't think Obataya is long for cruiserweight. He's huge. He's huge, and he cuts a lot of weight. You see him at the weigh-in. I'm not saying he's struggling, but he's uncomfortable making the weight.
Yeah, so that's the fight at heavyweight. Excuse me, that's the fight at cruiserweight. I know that there's some mandatories involved. I know that there's Dorticos. There's some other names.
Dorticos used to be... I mean, I don't know where he's at in his career right now. He was very, very good.
I mean, I think he's up there in age, no?
Like yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know where he's at this point of his career.
And he's Cuban, so you can add like 5 years on. He's 38.
Yeah. No, he was excellent. He's 43, 25 really. KOs and 27 wins. He's Cuban. That Gassiev knockout was brutal in the last
2018.
Round. I know. I remember because I was in camp with Sullivan Barrera, and they were mates from back in Cuba. And I forgot what we were doing. We were hanging out and the fight was on. And I just heard Sullivan go, oh, no, because he got knocked out in the last round. And he's like, oh, bro, he got knocked out bad. I was like, oh, no. But
yeah, the thing with Dorticos is he just hung around. You know, he got a first round knockout over Alan Compa. I don't know who that is. That was in Seminole Hard Rock Casino. He's hung around and he's got himself into a mandatory spot for Zerto. But it's very clear that the two best cruiserweights. Oh, there's also Badu Jack. And no disrespect to Badu Jack. I love Badu Jack, but
he's
I don't necessarily
I don't think
have
he's on
to
level with these guys.
I don't have to see Badu Jack versus Obataya. I don't have to see Badu Jack versus Zerto. I want to see Zerto versus Obataya.
No. That fight needs to happen, and unfortunately, it can it'll happen eventually, but it might happen in heavyweight. But I think we need to unify cruiserweight. I think, especially because these guys are both so good, and it's such a good fight in so many ways. The timing is right. That's got to be the next fight, man.
I think it will be too, because of Riyadh season.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think there's a really good chance that is the next fight we get.
That could be the next 5-on-5, and that's something you want to see. Opataya with Matchroom, Zerto with Golden Boy. Yeah, right? Yes. Left top rank is with Golden Boy. He fits. He's a good fit for Golden Boy,
yes, Zerto.
I think that's an awesome fight. I think that's like people will be torn on that because there are some out there that.
Dude, I'm torn on that. Torn on that fight.
Why is that? Because for me, it's like I think Opataya is really good, but then like I'm not 100% sold. Like I think he has some defensive lapses. And with Zerto, it's like this guy has so much potential, doesn't always show it. That Bivol loss is in the back of my mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like 47-1, but that's not a real 47-1 record. So I understand the questioning on both sides.
I think Zerto's really good at cruiserweight. I think he was really killing himself at 175. I almost knock off the Bivol loss. One, because how good Bivol is, of course. But also, I just think that he was really struggling to make the weight. And I think maybe a different version of Zerto could have been more competitive in that fight. But I cruiserweight. I mean, I remember the first time I saw him at cruiserweight, that Joe Smith fight. And listen, Joe's not a cruiserweight either, but Joe can punch like a heavyweight.
Yep.
And I was really impressed. I was like, wow, I actually think Zerto's better at cruiserweight. And then he goes on and rattle off the next two wins against top flight cruiserweights. And I'm like, yeah, no, this is where this guy belongs, especially for right now. Very impressive in that last fight with Chris Billiam Smith. I thought he was just way too much for him. His body punching is something that is a thing of beauty. He's a southpaw. He's big. He's long. Doesn't really look the part, but the guy's got a gas tank and an engine for forever. So Opataya is going to be he's going to be pushed in ways that he hasn't been. He's definitely the bigger puncher, obviously, one punch. But you're dealing with a guy with a pace, and he's got a pace for a super middleweight. We're talking about 199. This guy used to fight at 168. He's used to the hand speed of the smaller guy.
How did he make that weight?
Crazy. I remember watching those fights. I remember the Jesse Hart fight. I was there at one of them, and I'm like, this guy's a beanpole. But I mean, you know the numbers. The amount of punches that Zerto throws at a cruiserweight is out of control.
Yeah.
So that's a really difficult thing to deal with if you've never been in front of someone who's a non-stop punching machine that way. So Opataya is going to be pushed. So that's why I got a lot of questions.
Give me that fight in spring of 2025. And then there's the heavyweight question. Can Jay Opataya be a force at heavyweight? There's a bunch of people that are already pairing him up with Alexander Usyk because Usyk is a smaller heavyweight. Will Usyk stay around long enough for Opataya to fight a couple more fights at cruiser and then be at heavyweight? Can Opataya take out Alexander Usyk, who by that point will be older and Father Time is undefeated? Mm-hmm. I tend to pump the brakes on Opataya versus Usyk. I think that's a kind of a pipe dream, but it's a fun hypothetical.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. I don't think it happens. We definitely don't see Usyk going back down to cruiser.
Yeah, please stop with that.
Yeah, come on.
I got a bunch of tweets coming at me from that. I'm like, guys,
what
boxer with $100 million in the bank and is the king of heavyweight is going to willingly boil down 20-30 pounds?
Let's pull up 25 pounds of muscle. The guy is.
And he already did cruiserweight 5-6 years ago and cleared it out.
But also, why give the advantage to Opataya? That makes no sense. You come to me.
Yeah.
You want to come up anyway. I don't think Opataya wants to be a cruiserweight. So why not? They would fight him at heavyweight, if anything. But in that case, again, why would Usyk give him the opportunity at that point to make that? I don't know. That fight just doesn't make sense to me.
It's just a short list. Like Usyk, there's not many left for him to conquer. People are just drumming up. People are forgetting the Dubois fight, like Danny Dubois included. Give me another shot at you, or people are like, oh, it's gonna be different.
That's gonna be the fight. If Usyk fights again, that's it.
Right. It's him.
He's also Usyk is an Eastern European. He said in the ring, hey, wait, where's Excellency? Make the fight with Dubois. Like that's for him. His word is his bond. That's it. That's the next fight.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's the definite one, clear number one choice for Usyk is the Dubois rematch. And then, or if Dubois loses to Parker, I could see Parker versus Usyk.
I can see
and
that.
Then it gets really thin after that, and there's really no one left for Usyk to conquer. So now we're talking about a cruiserweight that is powerful in Opataya. You know, same kind of story as Usyk in terms of clearing out cruiser, being a little bit smaller, going up to heavyweight. So I understand where this is coming from, and I would like to see it, but a lot has to go right in order for that to happen. Fun card, though. I didn't catch it live. I wanted to wake up for it, but I missed it. But then I watched it on replay. So we're got one title fight this year and many more. Speaking of title fights, Keyshawn Davis versus Dennis Berenchik. It is officially official. Top Rank made the announcement. Put out all the fight posters. Chris, you'll be there, correct?
I will. I'm calling the international card with Christina Poncher.
Let's go.
First
You're
lady
busy.
Of boxing right now.
She's right, who just had a sinus surgery.
Yeah, I saw that. I shot her a message. I said, heal up. We got work to do.
So shout out to Christina. Hope you recover quick. And we'll see you on the call on February 14th. Love this card. She's awesome. She's a big supporter, big listener of the show. So that's awesome. Keyshawn Davis, Dennis Berenchik. It should be Dennis Berenchik, Keyshawn Davis. We're forgetting that Berenchik is the champion. They made the poster and they have Berenchik on the left side as like he should be, but they have Keyshawn just like angled higher than him, like staring down.
Yeah. They'll expand the photo. I think they've done so. They'll expand the photo so he's a little bit bigger. They do that.
And I see what you're doing, Type Prank.
We see the marketing ploys here.
Yeah, it's so subtle with boxing. The stupid A side, B side stuff, but it matters.
Is it though? Is it subtle?
We've been in this long enough where you know this is all being negotiated. Like when I saw Arnold Barbosa tweet that he's negotiating who walks out first and who walks out second with Catterall, I was like, good God. I was like, is this what holds up fights?
And that, especially for that fight, that particular aspect, nobody gives a shit.
That's what I mean. It's like he tweeted that. He's like, I ain't scared. We're just figuring out the final details. Like who walks out first, who walks out second. And I was like, dude, no one cares. Fans don't care about that. Like Mayweather Pacquiao, yes. Like that was fun. Like I remember reading those updates from like Lance Pugmire in 2014, 2015, when they were making Mayweather Pacquiao, because I was absolutely fascinated by how a fight of that magnitude gets made and what gets asked for and you know, what network is it going to be on and who's going to walk and all that stuff. That's interesting. But for smaller fights, come on.
Dude, I remember going, because I've been in those big fights, but like, I didn't even know that was like discussing the size of the ring for the Provodnikov fight. I had no idea that was in a contract. That was such a stupid move from our team.
You wanted a big ring.
Yeah. But also the ring was 16 and a half feet. It was like it was the smallest allowable official ring for a championship fighter they allowed.
Do you think there should be one standard ring?
Of course there should be.
Like basketball court, football field, not baseball, because every field's different.
I understand why there's different, because there's different size venues. And like, yes, I think championship fight. Yes, there should be a standard ring. It should be 22 feet. That's it. That's what it should be. The fact that there's different size rings for, you know, in title fights, it's not a level playing field then. It's not, everything should be standardized.
It's not a sport, it's a business.
Yes.
Like Mayweather wants a bigger ring. You're telling me that they're going to say no to him on when he's bringing in $100 million in revenue to the weekend at Vegas? Every fight? They're going to say, nope, Floyd. You're not getting what you want.
That's what's holding Las Vegas from making $1 billion the weekend you're here. Yeah, no. Okay.
I'm excited for this card. Keyshawn Davis, Dennis Berenchik. I think it's the coming out party for Keyshawn. I think it's the year of Keyshawn. You know, I put out a tweet to see what fans really want. Do you guys want guests or do you want to hear me and Chris? And predominantly everyone said, we just want to hear you and Chris, which is an awesome shout. And it's a great feeling to hear everyone want to just hear me and you, because I did reach out to Top Rank to see if Keyshawn would like to join the podcast, because we don't have guests often. I think we've only had one guest in the history of this show of me and you, and it was Shakur, and it was a great interview.
It was a great interview. Yeah,
I'm not opposed to having Keyshawn Davis. I think our listeners would enjoy that, because I'm very intrigued by where he is at in his career right now. I think he's like on the springboard and he's about to jump.
Yeah, no, he's the man. He's obviously the darling of Top Rank. He's dead focused. I saw him at the Top Rank gym a couple weeks ago when I was down there, for the Munguia fight where he got upset by Saras, calling from a studio in Las Vegas. I went down to the Top Rank gym and,
that's why you're a real journalist. You know that?
Yeah, I know, man. I know.
Walk around, get a feel.
And I didn't even work out. I just went in there, was talking to people, watching.
I wish I was around more gyms, 'cause that's how you get all the good information.
Yeah, truly. I saw Steve Nelson sparring. I got to talk to Keyshawn about this fight. I got to talk to Bomac about, you know, his guys coming up. One of Keyshawn's brothers was sparring. Got the chat.
One of his 12 brothers.
Yeah, who all fight.
They'll be on the card.
Yeah, got to talk to Brad quite a bit. Matchmaker for Top Rank for many, many years. Great guy.
Nice. Brad Goodman.
Yes, Goodman, because there's Jacobs as well.
Yes, I sometimes confuse them, but not in person.
Do you?
No. In my head, I go, Goodman's the matchmaker. Yeah, Jacobs is the guy you usually asks for tickets.
The most different people you could ever have.
Jacobs is the one I asked for tickets the week of the fight, and he always comes mm-hmm. through. Jacobs is the one
who books me for all the work that I do at Top Rank.
Oh, yeah. Not Goodman, though. Goodman's a guy that just knows a shit ton about boxing. Is one of the best.
Goodman
matchmakers.
Knows more than almost anybody out there walking. If I want to chat about boxing, that's the guy I call.
Matchmakers know the most about him. He learned from the best, Bruce Trampler.
Yes.
Eric Botcher, you know him?
Yeah, of course.
That guy's awesome. I see him all the time. He's MVP matchmaker. He's worked for literally everyone.
Everybody.
But he was on the mic recently for a Boxing Insider show. I think he'd be really good on the mic. He's an encyclopedia of boxing.
He fought too. He fought professionally.
Did he? I didn't know that. Yes. He's a very interesting guy. Every time I talk to him, I learn something new.
Yeah. How was his energy levels? Because he's a very like even keeled.
Right. That's what I mean. He's kind of like very like he probably had to be forced on the mic. I'm sure he didn't ask. But,
yeah. For sure.
He was good. He guy knows his stuff.
Oh, he's got tons of knowledge.
So I love this card. I love this main event. I love this full card. This is what Top Rank does. They give you a full night, and they really stack the cards.
I was going to ask you, are you going to go through the whole card? Because there's a lot of fights on there.
I am. Berancic, Keyshawn at the top. That is a 135-pound world title fight, WBO, which is Berancic's, who we won off of Navarrete. Keyshawn is positioned to win this fight, but it's going to be tough. I think this is one of the toughest first title fights for a Top Rank fighter that you'll see. So I love this main event for a number of reasons. We'll talk about it more at length as it comes closer. Xander Zayas is on this card, fighting Slawa Sporner.
Yeah, I was
20-0.
I need to do my homework on that one because I don't know who that is.
We got a month, bro. He's got a neck tattoo. He's 20-0. He's from Germany. He's 5'10".
If you have a neck tattoo, you know that ups you. That ups you in the rankings a bit there.
He has never fought in the U.S. He fought in Dubai, and all the rest of his fights have been in Germany. So he looks the part on BoxRec. Got a nice BoxRec pick. Jared Anderson.
I saw that. He's
welcome back.
He's back, baby.
Marios Kalias, Greek, whose last fight was in Espo. I don't even know where that is.
Where is that
flag? I don't know what flag that is. Kieran Holly.
We're going to get flamed in the comments for that one as well.
No. I've never seen this flag in my life. It's a I've never seen this flag. Kieran Halit Espo with two O's. That's the country. Espoo.
Yeah. And they couldn't. Throw a dart in a net on a map. That would be as good as my guess.
This guy fought in Copenhagen. He fought in Germany. Copenhagen. Why did I say it like that? Mike Coppinger. Coppingerhagen. Copenhagen. Germany. Sweden. Zabak. St. Julian's? This guy's a world traveler.
For real.
Started his career in Greece. Got his first six fights in Greece. Knocked everyone out. Then took it on the road. He's fighting Big Baby, who they're being very transparent. This is a get back.
Yeah.
This is a get back into the ring, get your bearings straight, reestablish yourself type of fight for Jared Anderson.
Needed and necessary, put it that way.
I like to talk to him during the week. Because last time I talked to him, you know, he had that clip where he's like, if I wasn't boxing, I'd be, you know, selling crack, selling dope. And a lot of people hated that. And then a lot of people didn't like him taking that fight. A lot of people, he got a slice of humble pie that night against Bacoli.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that was an ill-fated decision. But
how much do you think he made for that?
It's upwards of three.
Mil?
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to take it while it's there.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand, especially, you know, like.
Bro, you're in this game for, what, 5 years, if that?
Especially someone like him who's had so many issues outside of the ring. Like, he could be off for a long time because of, you know, silly stuff. Or he could just take control of his career and just whatever. But like every time I've talked to him, like really, really genuinely nice yes. guy.
Love him.
I don't get the, I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. I rescind my statement. I get the pull to do, you know, to do bad things because
he's a product of his environment, man. He didn't leave his hometown.
Listen, I'm not a product of my environment in that way. Like I have this demon in me that I want to do.
But no offense. Huntington isn't the same as Toledo, Ohio.
Agreed, but also like there's that thing in us fighters that we've got to drive to be self-destructive. It's part of why we are where we are.
I want to see where he's at mentally, and
yeah,
if I'm in town, because there's another fight that week, and in Florida, if I'm in town, I'm going to the event, and I'm.
We might be swapping. You're going to come to Florida. I'm going to go to New York.
Well, there's an Amazon show that I might be on, but I want to. If I'm not, I want to be at the weigh-in or the press conference for this event. So I want to interview Keyshawn. I want to interview all these guys, you know, and talk to them and get a feel for it. Zayas, future champ, Jared Anderson, very intriguing to me where he's at.
My bugging is the garden. It's the garden, right? The small room.
Theater, yeah. That's going to be sold out. Vito Milnecki Jr.
I like him too, but I love the garden. The theater, man. The theater in the garden is just people at home who don't know what I'm saying. If you've ever seen the fights with the lights that are like they look like shooting stars, that's the theater at the garden.
Yeah, and I love how the fighters come through the crowd.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tio Cambosos, Kevin Kelly versus Prince Nassim Hamed. Your boy was there. 10 years old, Dan.
Baldemir upsetting Zab Judah was there, and I was there.
Tyson Fury fought Steve Cunningham.
Yeah,
got knocked down.
Got dropped in that fight.
On a Saturday afternoon.
And a rare stoppage of Steve Cunningham.
Yes. Tyson Fury's U.S. debut was in the small room at the Garden. Vito Milnecki is fighting Conor Coyle.
That's a good fight.
I've heard Conor's tough.
Conor's tough as hell. That's a fight.
In the Tampa area, born in Northern Ireland. Milnecki's, I think they're, I like what they're doing here, putting Milnecki and Zayas on the same card because I think they're.
Yeah.
They're on a crash course. I think Zayas is obviously ahead of Milnecki, but Milnecki's damn good.
Milnecki's damn good. He's huge. I've heard stories about what he comes in fight night in terms of weight. I mean, Xander's huge too, but Xander has got a lot of skills. Milnecki's probably a little more explosive and dynamic, but Xander throws a lot of punches. Got a good jab. Very well schooled. Height, reach. You know, he's got the frame to be a very, very good boxer. So it's an interesting fight.
Where are they going to put all these fights? Abdullah Mason.
He's back
in the ring. I got to see this. I want to talk to this kid. I want to interview him. I want everyone to understand who he is. I want to understand who he is. I want to do mini mic interviews with him and figure out his personality because it seems like it's a pretty fun personality. And
his team is awesome. The people around him, like it's his family. They're all great. I've had conversations with them. They're excellent. He's super humble, you know.
Yeah, but maybe he's not. Let's see. Yeah. I'll ask him some questions and see where he's at.
He's like, maybe he's not. We'll see. Well,
Tiger Johnson.
Delonte. Yep, he's back.
Nico Ali Walsh, who I am really coming around on. Not in terms of like...
When his shoulder popped out and he was trying to punch it back in, I was at that fight, fighting a guy that he lost to. You know, he was getting the rematch. That was or was a draw. Or did he lose to that guy? I think he lost to that guy.
No, the shoulder was the draw.
Oh, he got a draw that night?
No, that was a while back. I don't know.
So that was a rematch with the guy he had the draw with.
Yes.
Okay.
Sona Akali.
Who's a rapper.
Nice. Nico Ali Walsh could have been a rapper. Could have been anything in life. But he's boxing. And
he still could be a rapper. He still could be.
He could have went Misfits route. You know, I know that for a fact that they offered him MVP, Jake Paul. He was in discussions to fight Jake Paul, but he said he doesn't want to go that route. I watched a bunch of stuff with him on Top Rank and actually think he's a very good kid. And I don't know how far he'll go in his career, but, you know, at first I was like, come on, this is, you know, Ali's grandson. But it's more than that. So let him do his thing. You know, they're not jamming him down our throats anymore by putting him on. I didn't think they were doing him any favors by putting him on regular main ESPN.
Yeah, there should have been some development fights, but Right, we don't live in that era anymore. We see every fight now. Like,
they were not even ESPN. They're putting them on like main ESPN.
Yeah.
Which is like, credit for him to taking it, but that's a lot.
I don't think he knew the difference, but also, you know, it's, yeah, I was surprised at that, but I guess, you know, I don't know how far they thought this was going to go.
So how this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fights listed right now. Like I'm curious, probably be at most a triple header on regular ESPN. So my guess is obviously Keyshawn Baranchuk, Zayas, and then Anderson. And then they'll put Milnecki, Mason, Abdullah on ESPN Plus. But it's one of those fights where if you get tickets, get there early. And if you're watching at home, fire up ESPN Plus early on because this is a really fun card. I love it.
It's going to be a long night.
Yeah, pace yourself.
But I mean, they do that, though. That's what Top Rank does.
Yeah, they stack their cards. I love how they do that. And we're invested in these young fighters. Like, I'm invested in Abdullah Mason, Tiger Johnson, to a lesser degree. A lot of these guys that they put on, Richard Torres, all of them. So, good job, Top Rank. Do we want to talk about Teofimo Lopez before we get to the voicemails? He rejects the Matias offer.
Okay, so, yeah, so fill me in, because right before we started filming this, I was briefly reading over some of the news that was coming out from that. So
Coppinger reports last month or like 2 weeks ago.
You know, Dan, I was out on a 10-mile run, so I couldn't do my research for the show. Yeah, we do them. So guys, we do them kind of like remotely. Like I go with my 10, and I do it in Florida. He does his 10.
It was grueling.
He does it in frigid New York.
It was grueling.
Dan has never done cardio, for anyone asking.
No, I walk on the treadmill and on incline for 10 minutes, and I hop off. Lifting only. T.O., Coppinger reports Teofimo Lopez Matias is close to being finalized for February 15th, ESPN pay-per-view Las Vegas.
February 15th?
March 15th. Well, whatever. March
15th. I think you said February, but yeah, I was like, that's really soon.
March 15th. So for the next 2 weeks, we're thinking that Teofimo's going to fight Matias. Teofimo's on a freaking some type of crazy run right now, tweeting at everybody, tweeting at Dan Rayfield, tweeting at everyone, responding to trolls, responding to everyone. He says the fight's not happening anymore. He's turned down the last offer. Now the WBO is going in a different direction. They're trying to put Matias in there with other guys at 140. It's a mess. And Teo's trying to fight Haney. Teo says he has a better plan out there for everybody out there. He's asking what his buyout is. He's tweeting disparaging things about Top Rank, disparaging things about Todd DeBuff, going at it with everyone. Like having like a mini crash out. Like it's not Ryan Garcia levels, but he's taking a page out of Ryan Garcia's book of let me just jam and throw a bunch of shit at the wall on Twitter and social media and see and have people think I'm crazy. That's the latest.
I mean, he's always been a little crazy like a fox. And I've seen that firsthand on fight weeks with Teofimo. And I think actually he performs better when the more crazy he is on fight week. He's like a caged animal that needs to be unleashed. Yeah. Normally when he's cool, calm, and collected, he actually has some of his worst performances. So I think he's best when he's kind of against the wall and in a state of kind of mania. Mm-hmm. But so maybe it's that, but also like I said last show, when this guy gets to Twitter, it means it's time to fight. He needs to get back out there. He's not parading.
We had a fight. We had a fight that everyone was excited about.
Yeah,
Matias. I don't know the predominant response on social media, which is a pretty good way to gauge if people are into a fight. We're excited. I don't know the details of the money. It's always an issue with money with TFE.
Listen, Dan, we're fighters. It's always an issue with the money. That's at the end of the day, like we're prize fighters. We fight for money. And you know, I hate when people say like, oh, like he doesn't want to fight this guy. I'm like, that's rarely the case. It's mostly money. Listen, you'll fight the right amount of money. You'll fight literally anybody.
Definitely. When I saw that this fight was being made, I was like, oh, great. So him and Top Rank and Teofimo obviously worked something out. They might have increased his guarantee. They might have done something to make him happy with the contract or whatever. Clearly not the case because this fight is not happening. So I don't know who Teofimo is going to fight. Whatever. It's just a saga with this guy.
The saga continues.
Before we get to a voicemail, it's one last thing. Christian Mabili, I don't know if you saw this, is scheduled to fight Kevin Lili Sadjo
and it's going to be either in late April or early May. Hmm. And the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because that takes Mobili out of the running for Canelo.
Good point. Good point there, Dan, to bring that up, because that was a front runner on a lot of people's minds for Canelo's next fight.
It's a final eliminator for the IBF 168 pound title held by the one and only William Skull. So Mobili's team must know something, that they're not getting the Canelo fight, because you don't schedule this fight.
No. Well, you know what it is. This is what is actually happening. Canelo's going to fight Skull.
Oh god.
And then Mobili's going to be the number one contender for Skull's IBF title, which will then be owned by Canelo. So he's going to get the Canelo fight in September.
It's just another name for Canelo to consider down the line.
Man.
So I don't know. That's just some Canelo puzzle pieces that are being.
This is why people tune in. We're just
investigative journalism.
We're like, remember you said boxing is subtle, but if you're really looking, it's not.
Yeah, you can see the moves ahead. Mm-hmm. Like I saw that headline on Boxing Scene, like Mobili. I clicked on. I was like, all right. So when are they close to the fight? When is it happening? When they said late April, early May, it could happen on the same weekend as the Canelo fight. Mm-hmm. So something's up here. Something's up. Where Mobili,
smart move for Mobili, because listen, if last minute Canelo goes, we want to fight Mobili, he'll take that fight. But he's in training camp already, so now he's training. Mm. So it's a very, very tactical, smart move. And that team that is around Mobili, they are aces.
Nice. Let's get to our voicemails. Got a lot of them. Some really fun ones. My favorite part of the show, to be honest. Here we go.
These are great. Love hearing from the listeners.
Here we go.
Hey, all. This is Ryan from New York. Huge fan of the show. Huge fan of you guys. Really appreciate the content you're putting out there. So I actually work in AI development. And after the whole Usyk Fury judging, one of the questions that I had for you guys, you know, when you have a abstract concept and you want to train an AI to be able to interpret it, the way that you do that, you break it down into different measurable prioritized decisions. So maybe the most notorious criteria for judging a boxing match, ring generalship, you guys had to pick three different measurable things, whether it's positioning in the ring, aggression, et cetera, that you would use to define ring generalship. What would they be? Cheers. Thanks.
Fucking phenomenal question.
First off, this guy's our smartest listener by far.
That was very, very cool.
He clearly works for AI because the guy knows his stuff. So basically, Chris, you're going to take this one. Basically, what he's asking is, how do you define ring general? How would an AI, how would you program an AI machine, I don't even know what the right word is, to quantify ring generalship?
An AI operating system.
Yeah, to quantify ring generalship, which is, I would like to know what ring generalship is anyway, because it's just a vague concept.
Again, really great question. So I would look at, what do you say, three measurables?
Yeah.
definitely ring position would be one. So who is controlling the center of the ring, the majority of the time spent in that 3-minute round? Also, how many times someone breaks position? And breaking position is by giving up ground, right? Or giving up position. So if a guy is able to step into your, into crossing that critical distance line and making you give ground or stand and get hit, I think that should be marked against you, because you're either breaking position or you're getting obviously hit. So control of the ring, who's controlling the center of the ring the most? Also, who's controlling the pace of the fight? Who's actually being able to drive or be in control, or the leader of, because that's what ring general is, right? A general is someone who's leading the positioning. So a lot of the time when you talk about ring general, you're talking about positioning, you're talking about control. So in terms of measurables, it would be ring positioning, and that includes being able to break position or control position. The amount of time spent where you are actually controlling the pace of the fight. I think that was like four. But
that's great. I mean, that's what a human judge should be looking at too. So
I don't think they do. I don't think they understand what the hell I just said. So
we don't know what they think, because we never get to talk to them. Never get to hear from them.
Yeah. That's a great question, though. And
I wonder if this guy Ryan is interested in working in the boxing game, because I know the AI judges are coming into focus now. I think there's going to be more of them this year. It's one thing, like, as we're looking forward to this year, I think we're going to see more
technology in boxing.
Yeah, well, that's going to be nonstop from here on out in pretty everything in life, but yeah.
But something that we were doing at CompuBox, we were offering this service for a lot of networks, was we were tracking the fighter in the ring or where he is at. Like, and we were also tracking close quarter fighting, like fighting at range versus fighting on the inside. Mm. And we're also keeping track of where the fighter was. We broke the ring up into four quadrants and how much time a fighter spends on the ropes, how much time a fighter spends backpedaling, how much time a fighter spends going forward.
So you guys did a great job of that. It's basically what I was just talking about. It's like, who controls the space in the ring? Who is breaking position more or is causing his opponent to break position?
But that's going to be plugged into the AI now.
Right. But listen, whatever we're plugging into the AI should be how judges are seeing and thinking about their scorecard.
Ideally.
That's what makes scoring so difficult and why I think it's going to take a long time for AI programming to actually be able to figure this out, because it's so complex and there's so many different nuanced aspects to each level of the scoring of each round. And I think that's part of the problem, because a lot of times you just see, oh, the guy who's moving forward is going to win the round. It's like, that's so basic when there's so many things going on.
So subjective.
Yeah, it is very subjective. And that's also part of the reason why we get such, you know, cockamamie scoring.
Well, another thing, too, is I think the AI will get better at this, but as of right now, I think they are a little bit behind on punches thrown and landed, on what's being landed. And that's, I think, the number one thing in outside of ring
judging. That's why you got to get with CompuBox, put it together, because you guys have been doing this for a long time.
That's right, Chris. I think landed punches, clean landed punches, isn't that criteria number one of judging?
Clean, effective punching, yes.
Yes. So if the AI can't pick up
ring generalship, defense, and what's the other one?
IQ?
No, that's our power scores. Clean, effective punching, defense, ring generalship, effective aggression.
Yes, which is another vague one. Vague. But the clean, effective punching, which is number one.
Super subjective.
Needs to be, that's not subjective. Like, if you have the AI and you have CompuBox and you're able to see what lands, that needs to be taken into account more. I think that's where the AI judge was a little faulty in the Fury Usyk fight, because I know for a fact that the AI company that they were using wasn't up to speed on what was being thrown and landed. Like, they was a little bit rushed. So if the technology isn't lining up yet, then we're going to have problems. But it's interesting. I think there's a way to, as everything with AI right now, we're in the infancy stages of it. Everything's going to get better, which is scary.
But it gets better like at exponential.
It scares me.
Time frames. It gets,
keeps me
crazy
up at night.
Good thing is they can't take our job.
Yeah, for now.
Nobody wants to watch some
robots. Heads. Inside Boxing Live brought to you by just two bots.
The robot AI is not going to mess up words like us.
We could be robots right now.
It's a lot funnier when
normality,
we mess up
by the way, someone responded.
Is a word.
Is a word. And they use it in the UK. In the US, they use normalcy. So take that. Ooh. Take that.
Right, we got normality.
Hey, what's up, Dan and Chris? Thanks again for having me on last time when you guys did this. This is Jeremiah again from Ventura. One question I did have for you both is, when you end up, for lack of a better term, criticize some people or some boxers' career choices or, you know, kind of their inside ring tactics or whatever about a fighter, do you ever feel like you might lose access to these fighters whenever you interview them? I mean, I know Dan, he goes out and he interviews tons of fighters, but those are the same kind of fighters you talk about on your podcast, and sometimes you're not so, you know, you end up criticizing them in one way or another. But yeah, that was just my question. Thanks again. You guys are my favorite podcast. See ya.
Thanks, brother. Good question.
That's a good question.
I love this one, because it's a very, 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 very tough thing to traverse in the boxing landscape right now. Is I do a lot of interviews with fighters. It's part of my contract with PPV.com. I'm on this show here, and we're going to tell it like it is. But we don't do it in a derogatory way. Mm-mm. I don't say anything personal about a fighter. Neither do you, Chris. Anything we say is about what's going on in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like something that we don't like about a fighter inside of the ring, not something we don't like about their look, something about their personal decision, something about their religion, something about their race, which happens a lot in this sport, and I hate it. Or something about, you know, anything. Like I see a lot of these other content creators out there just shoot themselves in the foot by just going too far. So there have been instances too where some fighters have taken exception with things that I've said or something I've said in an interview. And, you know, some very notable fighters, and I've gotten emails from managers of notable fighters saying, I do not like what you said about my fighter right here, you know, and usually what that means in not so many words is you're never going to talk to him again. Mm-hmm. So then I have to smooth it out. You have to try to, it's a give and take, and you never want to, you know, get in the way of losing access to a fighter, but you also don't want to tiptoe around things.
Yeah. You don't want to tiptoe. You don't want to lose your credibility because that's what's on the line.
Like with Canelo.
You gotta talk it like it is.
Exactly, Chris. Like with Canelo, like we became friendly over the last year through our work with PPV.com, and he enjoys our interviews. I enjoy interviewing him. I've said numerous times on record that I want to see him fight David Benavidez. Mm-hmm. And I've said it to him. I said, You know, everyone wants to see that. Like, and he'll answer the question. Let me move on. You know, like I'm not going to sit here and just pound, beat the drum nonstop. It's like it's not happening right now.
I'm going to speak from a fighter's perspective. It's the delivery, because I've had certain outlets when I was fighting say derogatory things or make memes and making, you know, like joke. I'm like, all right, well, you're done. Like you're disrespecting me now. This is not. I understand objectively reporting something because you're media, but if you're gonna go out of pocket, then I'm never dealing with you again. So to answer, you know, your question about, are you afraid of, yeah, you will. If you act silly, if you say something stupid, something that's not, you know, whether it's not honest, whether it's unnecessary, it was unprofessional. Yes. The fighter has every right to don't tell you to go fucking kick rocks next time you go.
Yeah. I've never done that. One of the nicest things Devin Haney said about me one time, we got on a Zoom and he goes, oh, I know who you are, man. He's like, you're very fair. He's like, I've heard some criticisms of me. You say, but you keep it real. And I was like, dude, that's
cool.
Number one thing you can
that's
say.
Good awareness. Very good awareness.
And I like Haney, and I've criticized him numerous times about things inside the ring. Never anything personal. And I still do interviews with him. Some guys are, you know, you fighters are very sensitive. I'll give you that. You guys, I've gotten texts from or DMs from major names in boxing, and they're like, why are you not? You know, why are you riding for this guy? Or why? I saw what you said here. I'm like, guys, like, it's not personal. Like, we're talking about you, but it's not like that.
Listen, sure if I'm ever riding for someone, I will literally flat out say, like, I like this guy, but I'm also going to be very objective when it comes to my analysis.
I'm sure you have, at ProBox, have run into some issues because you guys are on, do so many videos, and it's a little bit of a different tone on ProBox than we have here, where, you know, Paulie is not afraid to say anything about anybody.
No. He flies from the handle a lot. He's very emotional.
Tim, not afraid to say anything about anybody.
No, he's another one. Those guys, they're both like, they're on edge.
They've gotten in trouble. Not trouble. But they've.
But I'm not that guy. I'm the cool head. Like, yeah, I've pissed off plenty of fighters, but like, I don't think.
You're a fighter, though.
I'm a fighter also, coming from my perspective, but also at the same time. I mean, one, I'm respected by the fighters as well, but I've never said anything like so off kilter that it's, you know, I'm just saying what I feel and what I see. I would think that I'm a fair guy too, like how Devin said you are when it comes to my analysis and talking about fighters. But also, like, I'm a fighters fight fan. I'm a fan of fighters. So that's the way to put it. I'm a fan of fighters. So I'm always going to talk up guys because I think what we do is the hardest thing in the world. So what I used to do. So I think that, you know, fighters deserve a lot more credit than a lot of times they get when some pencil pusher starts talking shit.
Getting angry now. A good question. I'm not going to stop, but there's ways to do it where you don't have to burn bridges and you can still be critical. And most fighters understand for the most part.
Just be respectful.
Most fighters understand for the most part that, like, listen, I'm just doing my job. I'm not saying anything bad about your family or you as a person.
It's media, yeah.
Like, another example would be Tim Zhu. Like, we ripped him pretty good after the Fandora fight, for taking that fight, for not having the rematch clause. Your team fucked up. I even put it in like the headline. And then I saw him in Orlando or in Vegas, and, you know, we're fine. I don't know. Like, it's just most fighters they could take it. You know, you're making a lot of money and you're in the public eye.
On Pro Box, and we talked a lot of shit about that fight as well. I mean, yeah, he's fine. He's great.
I'm sure he probably agrees.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
What the frick? Why did I fight that guy? Let's go.
Gentlemen, this is Louie Overhand from the Bay to this day. Just wanted to thank you guys for a good 2024 year. Expecting a really good year for this upcoming, but I want to appreciate you guys' contact. But to go back to topic, I just wanted to say that there's a really good debate with Usyk being in the top 10 heavyweight of all time. Just wanted to pick you guys' brain, see where you guys feel where you would put him at an all-time great list. But also, I'm very curious as to see who you guys have top five best heavyweights of all time. I personally love Lennox Lewis. I feel like his style can probably beat anybody from the top 10. His style is just one of those that's going to give you a really long night, just like popping a blue chew, baby. You got love from the Bay. Love you guys. Thank you.
That's Louie Overhand. He's in the comment section every episode. He's awesome.
That's
so we
awesome.
Love Louie.
Like if we're looking for that Bluetooth Bluetooth sponsorship, that was a nice little hit.
Louie Overhand. Usyk in the heavyweight discussion is interesting because you can only fight who they put in front of you. You can only fight who's in your generation. He's cleared out pretty much everyone. He beat Fury twice, Joshua twice, Dubois. It's a pretty damn good run. Where does it place him all the time? I'm not ready to call. I'm like top 15. Which is unbelievable status.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, well, you can also do the hypothetical pound for pound, like, all right, well, I'm gonna match him up with guys from the past, and it's pretty hard to get guys that are going to beat him. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, Lennox Lewis is one that I don't think he could beat. I don't think Usyk could beat Lennox Lewis. I thoroughly agree with, what is it, Louie Overhand?
Yeah.
I thoroughly agree. Lennox Lewis is a bad SOB, man. Bad for anyone in any time frame.
I love Lennox.
I love Lennox too. And he was a guy that I did not appreciate until he retired.
Mm-hmm.
I think during his career, I don't know if it was because he was British. I don't know if it was the way, I don't know. Like, cause
it was a lot of things.
He had some real stinkers out there in terms of some of those fights he fought.
He
really
didn't have a hometown, bro. He had no identity in terms of, he didn't know who to call home. You know, he was Canadian.
Jamaican born, Canadian, Olympian, fought in England, had his biggest fights in America. He was very much on the
road.
Had
a few tough losses.
Yeah, some bad knockouts, but he beat everyone he's ever stepped in the ring with. You know, he has his two losses, but he avenged them, but in brutal fashion as well. He could jab, he could box, he could punch, he could think, he could fight 12 rounds. I think Lennox, in terms of matching him up with any heavyweight in history, you're gonna have a rough night because the guy was super versatile.
Absolutely, I got Ali one.
Yeah,
Joe Lewis, Jack.
Ali
Jones,
at his best is nearly unbeatable.
Rocky Marciano, Joe Frazier,
Larry Holmes. I don't have Rocky that high at all.
I'm just throwing out names that could be in the top 15. You can put them wherever you want. Foreman.
Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes, he's a mother effer. You put him in modern day heavyweights, now he's beating most guys.
Kidding me?
The jab, the conditioning. He had a sniper right hand. His name is a sniper. Eastern Assassin, but he's called the sniper as well. So, the guy... he had a chin. Some of those knockdowns that he got up from, he's a problem for anybody.
Notice how we have not listed Mike Tyson.
No, because he's not there.
Top 20 Tyson, top 25.
He doesn't beat Lennox ever.
Accolades, top 20.
Yeah,
what's his best win?
A blown up light heavyweight.
Sphinx?
Yeah, that's really
crazy. He lost every big fight.
Yeah. Yeah, badly. Usually badly.
He lost to Jake Paul. It's on his box rec.
That's crazy.
I'm on his box rec right now. He has seven.
Where do you
losses.
Put a guy like Evander? Evander?
Top 20.
Yeah, Evander, dude, he tussled with the big guys like no other. He was willing to get in there. A guy like Riddick Bowe, who, aside from his mental, his physical was so goddamn good.
The thing with Bowe is I think he kind of, he flamed out a little bit.
He wasted his prime and his potential, for sure.
Throwing that belt in the garbage.
But in terms of talent, who do you compare him to? He's one of the best physically gifted heavyweights we've ever seen.
Right, I just think Holyfield has a better resume and a better body of work.
No question.
But Bowe was, he was so skilled.
Yeah.
I've got one here. This one's
Hey, Dan, Chris, what's up? do you guys think Canelo is losing his fan base because he hasn't had a knockout in 3 years? And on top of that, or he hasn't had a stoppage going 12 rounds with people like Edgar fucking Berlanga. That should have been an easy knockout. They should have been gotten done with it by 6 to 8 rounds.
Okay.
So if you're not fighting the guys the public wants to see, and you're not taking risks in terms of opponent, because of opponents, and not only in the ring, you're not going for the kill, why the fuck are the public, like, do you think he's losing the public? I'm a fan of that guy, but like, some of these fights, like, I went to a bar. This was the first Canelo pay-per-view as an adult that I did not pay for. Against
Yeah. It went on for another 2 minutes. But
definitely losing him as a fan.
Yeah. Lost me as a screener. But I got the point of it.
Very, very, very emotionally invested. Definitely Canelo's losing him as a fan.
yes and no. I think the best way to see it.
I don't think he's losing fans.
The best way to see it, Chris, is with our eyes. Like when we go to Vegas, that weigh-in for Berlanga was absurd. The weigh-in for Munguia was absurd in Vegas. The turnout, the look on fans' face, the excitedness on fans' families showing up.
It's all week too, Dan. That's what people don't understand. Like it's not just the weigh-in in the night. Like it's all week. There's an energy. There's people everywhere. He's not losing fans.
And on fight night, it's sold out. And then the Berlanga fight, I think, did at least 500,000 buys.
Damn.
Which is one of the top-selling pay-per-views in today's current climate. So if you just look at the numbers, he's technically not losing. There's no dip, really, which is the scary part. There's no dip in his economics. He's still getting 35 million plus 80% of everything in the arena. That Diet Coke you're drinking, Canelo's, that's Canelo's. So, like, he's still getting all that.
He's getting money on the DCs?
You didn't know that?
No, I know. I'm joking.
He said that in an interview. It was such a flex. Yeah. It was such a flex when he said that. And we've been over this numerous times. Like, if he's not fighting Berlanga, I mean, if he's not fighting Benavidez, there ain't too many other names out there. So
he's fighting young, undefeated guys.
You and know, he's like, dropping them.
He's dropping everybody. He's not finishing anyone.
Not finishing them because, listen, he's father time. But he's still dropping them. Would I like to see him go for the kill against Berlanga? Yes. Do I think he held up Munguia after watching Munguia get knocked out cold by Bruno Sorars? Yes. I think he did. I think he did carry him, Munguia, because he liked him. So, I don't know. The jury's still out on Canelo. I'm very curious how he spends the last 2 years of his career. Which is four fights.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's losing fans. He might be losing some hardcores.
He's losing he's losing hardcores. But also, guess what? The hardcores are still going to watch. Like, I'm a fan of Canelo. I'm definitely disheartened by, these fights and the big fights not being made. But at the same time, fight week, I'm going. I'm excited to go. I'm happy for the fights. I like when he fights. I still think it's a big, huge event. It's one of the biggest events of our sport every time he fights.
Does he get credit for fighting Crawford?
We're speaking from us being there that no, he's not.
Does he get credit for fighting and beating Crawford?
I think he should.
Heath doesn't think he will.
Who doesn't what?
Canelo doesn't think he'll get credit for beating Crawford.
Well, that would be the excuse not to fight him but I still think he does.
Fight him.
Listen, at the end of the day, when you look back in history, you're going to go Crawford, if Canelo is to beat him, if there's the fight and he beats him, Crawford had one loss. He lost to Canelo Alvarez. Okay. Yeah, he's way bigger. Listen, man, you signed the contract, you won the fight, you jumped up the fight. Like, he still lost to the guy. Like, it doesn't, I don't know. I think in the annals of history, yes, he will get credit.
I do think it quiets some of the detractors if he fights Crawford, even though he's going to be favorite.
Right. At this point, I mean, yeah, there's, like you said, what other big fights are available? It's either move up to 75 and fight a Bivol or a Benavidez, a Bivol or a Beterbiev, or fight the Benavidez fight, either make him come down to 68 and fight you there or fight him at 175. But those are the biggest fights that can be made. And final, I don't see him going to 75 to fight those guys.
No, me neither. Final voicemail.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Chris. Huge fan. Hector Martinez, you know, comes straight out of Boise, Idaho. Been listening to you guys
Boise.
For a long, long time now. Lately, I've been seeing this debate on social media, right, about who has the best resume, Teofimo Lopez, Tank Davis, David Haney, or Ryan Garcia, right? And from what I see, people keep picking Tank. Now, if I'm correct, Tank's only legitimate title has come from beating Jose Pedraza, right? And since then, he had a secondary title until he just got, you know, elevated, I want to say about, you know, 2 or 3 months ago into full-time championship for the WBA. So with that being said, man,
This fade is out. He also left the same voicemail 4 times, this guy. I like the question. I have seen this circulating recently. Who has the best resume? And, yeah, he is right where Gervonta beat Jose Pedraza, but that was in 2017? 2017, right?
Yeah.
That was a while ago. So for Tank...
In hindsight, a really good win.
Yes. For Tank, it's Frank Martin, Ryan Garcia, Hector Luis Garcia at 135. Rolly, Isak Cruz, Mario Barrios, Leo Santa Cruz, Gamboa, and the Pedraza. So that's that. Teofimo has wins over Vasily Lomachenko when he was still Vasily Lomachenko. He has wins over Richard Comey when Richard Comey was still had his wits about him. He's got wins over Josh Taylor, which is not aging as well. Wins over Sandor Martin, where you can argue that did he win that fight? Sandor Martin's a damn good fighter. Nakatani was a good win in hindsight. So we know Jermaine Ortiz, good win. You could poke holes in Teofimo's as well. Let me go over to Devin Haney's, which I think is sneaky the choice here. Devin Haney has fought Ryan Garcia. Say what you will about Ryan Garcia. Regis Progre shut him out. Lomachenko fought him tough. Kambosos, twice. Won 22 of the 24 rounds. Jojo Diaz, which was a good step-up fight. Jorge Linares, a name. Gamboa, another name. So I like that one. And then the last one is Ryan Garcia, who may not beat everyone, but this guy's building a nice resume. Like, who else has fought Tank and Devin Haney? But outside of that, it's to go.
Doesn't have win over either.
Well, do you think he beat Haney?
I mean, I saw him beat Haney, but he also
I'm giving that a dub.
Yeah, he also didn't make weight and fell for a drug test.
Asterix. Yeah. I think it's Devin Haney. What do you think?
I think it's Teo, because I think Teo fought the better opposition at the time. Because Josh, I know in hindsight didn't look good, but Josh was still a killer then, and Lomachenko was really a badass then, and I think he really beat Lomachenko. Like, you can argue to the day is long, you know, the day is long. What is it?
To the cows come home.
Yeah, to the cows come home, whatever. The Lomachenko-Haney fight, that, listen, a lot of people thought Lomachenko won that fight. I don't think a lot of people thought Lomachenko beat Teofimo. Teofimo beat him. So I'm going with Teofimo. Undisputed. Beat two prime guys who are both undisputed. You know, like, listen, you got to think about that. Lomachenko was undisputed. He's never been undisputed. But listen, he became undisputed winning that fight. And then he fought Josh Taylor, who had been undisputed at one point. And, I mean, outclassed him. So yeah. I'm going.
They're all good resumes. And you can make a case for every guy.
Martin might be a world champion soon. So, like, then in hindsight, you're like, okay, yeah, he struggled with that guy. But damn, that guy's good.
I think you can make a case for everyone on this list. It's a shame that a lot of them haven't fought each other, because that's how you can really beef up these resumes. And then
I think Ryan's at the bottom of that list.
Yeah, Ryan's kind of at the bottom. But the Haney and Gervonta at the two names up top is admirable. Haney is admirable for going from Lomachenko right to Progre at the time, who was a champ.
Definitely best businessman.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a good resume.
No, he does. Haney, he does.
He's got a good resume. You can poke holes in every resume. You can poke, like, you can do it all day long.
Yeah,
you can say this guy wasn't what he was. This guy.
I mean, people do it to Canelo, and people do it to Mayweather all the time. So I mean,
you do it all day long. So yeah, you're going with Teofimo. I'm going with Haney. Tank could change that. Really, the thing is everyone can change it.
Yes, because they're all still active fighters. So,
and they're all in the same 10-pound range.
What is Tank the oldest one?
Tank is 30. He's the oldest one.
Yeah, he's still got a bunch of big fights left. Yeah, like he's one fight away from, you know, being the top dog there if he beats, you know, one of these other guys.
That is our episode this week. I did want to say, if anyone is tuning in and listening or watching from the Southern California area, our thoughts are with you guys. And that are some crazy scenes with these wildfires that we're seeing. I know that we have listeners all over the place. Insane. I hope everyone's safe. Wild stuff. And there's a lot of big boxing in Southern California, big boxing hub. So I'm worried about them all out there. We'll be back on Sunday. I think we're gonna dabble with some new content. A lot of people reached out and said they would want to hear us break down old fights. We're gonna come up with one this weekend. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna study it, and then we'll come out with next week's episode. Will be a look back at a classic fight. You down for that, Chris?
I'm super down for that. That sounds awesome.
Because there's no fights this weekend. None. Not even one worth mentioning. So everyone, enjoy the weekend. Hang out with your family. Hang out with your girlfriend. Hang out with your side piece. Hey, how do you stay on my side piece? That's your guy. keep your hands up. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of the DMs.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.